Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Life Stories Podcast. I'm your host, David, and I'm so thankful for you to take the time out to listen to this story today. Well, if you're listening to this, when this episode actually is released, it is Easter weekend, where we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus and where he was crucified and on the third day rose from the dead, granting us our salvation, the very foundation of our faith. Together we celebrate our risen Savior and victory over death. And we thank God for it. We thank God for his promise. We thank God for salvation. And we thank God for the blood that was shed for our forgiveness. In today's episode, I have a very special guest for you today. Her name is Kayla Ortiz. She is a great friend of mine, and we go way back in our friendship through various journeys, and we've led worship together and just have a ton of mutual friends, and she's just an amazing person. She actually has a book that is now available on Amazon called Who is the Holy Spirit, which is a devotional that you can experience and get to know who the Holy Spirit is. She'll share her story towards that book. She'll also share her story of a personal battle that she's gone through over various battles in her life. She'll share a personal story, and it's a good testament for leaders and how we too also need prayer and accountability. That just because we lead a ministry or a leader in church or in some sort of capacity, that we have to put on this facade of perfection and that we have it all together. But in reality, leaders need prayer, and leaders need more prayer, because there is a target that the enemy has on us for leaders to not be ashamed to ask the people who they lead for prayer. That's what they're there for. Not only, they haven't been placed in our life for us to lead, but they've also been placed in our life for us to go to and have accountability to. There's nothing wrong with that. Being vulnerable is a strong leader. So without any further ado, please welcome my good friend, Kayla Ortiz. Well, hey, Kayla, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, David, I'm doing well. How are you?
I am great. It's so good to see you.
Yes, it's nice to see you too.
I'm so excited to have you on the show. For people, just to get a little bit of a history between our friendship, is me and Kayla have known each other for years. We connected actually through a mutual friend through Birchfield Ministries. You went to school there and served there. And one of my good friends, or a lot of my church that I was attending at the time, was pretty much TBI graduates and alumni. And so we met that way. We actually led worship together. We played in a band together. We just did it all together.
Yeah. I remember those good old times where we would practice and go to different places to worship. It was really fun. It was good times.
Those were good times. I think back sometimes I'm like, man, you know, I haven't been on like led worship or been a part of a band probably in about 5 years. And, you know, sometimes I miss it, but I think it was good for a season. And if God ever opens the door for me to maybe not lead worship or, you know, just get involved some way, totally down for it. And also too, I'll say that Kayla has a beautiful singing voice, a total gifting and an anointing to sing and to follow the Holy Spirit, which we will talk about later on. But she's an amazing person. And if you do not know Kayla, I highly, highly recommend that you get to know her, and we'll plug in her socials and all that stuff later on. But yeah, that's how we know each other. And we've got mutual friends everywhere. Everybody knows Kayla.
And it's just so crazy. Just you bringing it up, David, it just reminds me, we were so young back then. We were like in our early 20s. Yeah. We had so much energy and stamina. We were like dreamers and visionaries. We just wanted to, I think at that time, we really wanted to kick off that band.
Yeah. But The Alive Project. I remember that.
Yeah, but it kind of dismantled because the drummer and one of the singers were married, and there was just a lot of changes taking place. Mm-hmm. So we weren't able to keep that up and going. But, you know, as long as it lasted, it was fun. It was a blessing. And we still have pictures that we reminisce. They pop up on Facebook from time to time. And it reminds us of those times. I'm like, man, I remember those times.
That was before I could jump to the praise and worship music and before my knees would kill me, you know, but like now I can do a little bob. Gotta be careful. The bones hurt now. But yeah, I definitely miss those times. It was great. And gosh, that was almost almost 10 years ago, maybe.
Or over 10 years ago.
don't remind me of that evil number. So we go way back, and I'm so excited to see where you're at now. And I think it's just amazing to see your ministry now. To give you guys a little bit of updated information about Kayla, she's actually the founder and the leader, or CEO, whatever you want to call it, of David's Tabernacle San Antonio. And I've actually been, back in your early days, and then I had the opportunity to share my testimony at your recent 24-hour prayer service, which was absolutely phenomenal. Again, thank you for allowing me to do that. That was such a blessing. And then to hear the other stories that matched my story, it was just so much more encouraging. Like, I thought I was going to go to be an encouragement, and yet I was so much more encouraged by that. It was just so phenomenal. But thank you for that. But do you want to talk a little bit about David's Tabernacle and what that is?
Yes. So David's Tabernacle San Antonio, we are a house of prayer here in the city of San Antonio. And our vision is to create a dwelling place for the presence of God here in San Antonio, where we want to invite every believer and even the unbeliever to come and encounter the Lord, to come and be in the presence of God. And so David's Tabernacle, we meet once a week, where basically believers from all over San Antonio come to sit in the presence of the Lord, to worship and to pray. But we also give training in regards to different topics. A couple years ago, we trained into who is the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How do we operate? How do we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? So we've been training the people that have been consistently with us and part of our ministry leadership. They've been trained in all of this. So our hardest desire is just people come and be with the Lord, come and be in the presence of the Lord, to encounter the Lord and to pray. And I think for me, David, personally, one of the biggest testimonies or the biggest things that I've learned throughout my walk with the Lord is the importance of prayer. Mm-hmm. I think me learning how important prayer was and how I saw it come to full manifestation with my sister, who used to be a former homosexual, and how my prayers brought forth her deliverance, it really pushed me to continue to create a praying culture here in our city and with the community of believers. And I think that's why I'm so passionate about worship, passionate about prayer, because they're powerful weapons and they work. Mm-hmm. And so that's my prayer, is to awaken the church here in San Antonio to intimacy in the presence of God, but to awaken them to be houses of prayer, to pray without ceasing, like the Bible says, and to see the glory of God move here in our city, in our home, in our churches, and all over the world.
Yeah, that's so good. I totally back that up and say that prayer is absolutely a powerful weapon. And it's one of those weapons that, yes, sometimes it's an instant result, but sometimes it can take a slow process and take a lot of time. But prayer, it is, you never underestimate the power of prayer. I mean, I can't say that enough. And I really enjoy, with the 24-hour prayer service that you just recently did, and I was able to attend and speak at, was, there's all kinds of styles of worship and prayer. And I saw that night, because there were people that would, worship like normal you would at church. And then there was people that had flags, and there was people that were laid out. And then there were people that were just sitting down. Like, that was one of me. Like, I just felt like I just wanted to be in the presence of other believers and be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that's, in this crazy world that we live in, with everything that's going on and with political and culturally and all this just chaos, sometimes you just need to just sit and be in the presence of God. And that in itself is so healing in so many areas. So
And that's why, David, we were led by the Holy Spirit to create that, because I mean, I came out from, as you know, being busy in the ministry, and and one of the things the Lord taught me is we need to learn how to abide with the Lord rather than working for him. And I think here in America, the church, we are well trained to serve, but we don't know how to be still. We don't know how to abide with the Lord. And that's where we get breakthrough. That's where we find rest. That's where we find miracles. That's where we find Jesus. And so, And so I'm so thankful that you were able to join us on that day that we hosted the presence of the Lord for, 12 hours. Mm. And man, it was unbelievable to see believers and different churches and pastors come and pray and worship. And you're right. Different styles. It's beautiful. When the body of Christ comes together, it's beautiful.
Yes, it was amazing. And I look forward to the next one if that ever happens again.
Yes, and, God willing.
One question I did have for you regarding David's Tabernacle is, where did the title come from?
The title came from, for people that don't know this, King David in the Bible actually had a tabernacle. We all know very well about Moses. You know, he had a tabernacle where they sacrificed animals, but the one that has not been really taught on is David. The Bible talks about how when David brought back the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel, if you remember, they lost it. You know, the Philistines had stolen it. And so it was brought back to Israel. And David loved the presence of God so much that he created for the Lord. It was a tent, not necessarily a tabernacle. It was a tent. And so what David did is that instead of offering God animal sacrifices, that he offered to the Lord 24/7 nonstop worship for 40 years. And so what he did is that he trained along with his leaders, he trained Levites how to worship the Lord prophetically, spontaneously. And so for 40 years, these leaders, these worshipers would go into this tent where the Ark of the Covenant was, and they would just worship the Lord nonstop. And then another team would come nonstop. And so the tent was now open and available for everyone to go into the tent to worship and encounter the presence of God. And so in the book of Acts, it talks about how David's tabernacle is going to be restored in the last days. And we're seeing it as houses of prayer are popping up all over the world. Upper Room, one of the biggest ones, International House of Prayer. All these houses of prayers are popping up because we're seeing prophecy being fulfilled. But not only that, I mean, even in Israel, they're beginning to discover that they believe that they found David's tent. And so they're rebuilding it as the Bible is, you know, spoke about it. So it's amazing to see it, how it's practically and naturally being rebuilt in Israel, but also it's being rebuilt and restored in the church globally.
Right. Yeah, that's so good. I'm so glad that God placed that in your heart to start that ministry. I think it's so needed. And I'm so glad that it's here local now. I mean, I know that there are some groups that will come through San Antonio, but they do it for a while and then they're gone. But, you know, this is ours. You know, this is our city. This is our ministry. This is our churches and our church family. And I love that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so Kayla, actually, I'll tell that story about how when I texted you asking if you wanted to be on the podcast about how you had prayed, you know, I want to be on a podcast. And we hadn't talked. And I thought about you and I'm like, you know, Kayla just came with the book and let me text her. And just, it was just so funny how that happened. So prayer works. It may not be as little as praying for a podcast invitation, but hey, it works. So
I know. I mean, it was just so beautiful because every year I always pray and I kind of ask the Lord what I'm believing for, but also hearing what he has for me. And so I was walking in the park. I usually talk to the Lord in the park while I'm walking. And I said, Lord, I would love to just come out on a podcast and just talk about you and what you've done in my life. And I just lifted it up to the Lord, a desire of mine. And then weeks later, months later, you message me and I'm like, oh my God, Jesus is so faithful. This is so awesome. And then I just shared with you how I had just been praying and believing God for an open door. And look, my friend David just contacted me and I was like, this is awesome. A great opportunity to share God's goodness.
And he is so faithful, even in the tiniest things. And I think that's what's awesome about God, is that we think he's always listening for the big things, or we're healing for cancer or whatever, but he cares about, I want to be on a podcast. He cares about, you know, the little things that we ask him for. Well, thanks again for coming on. I'm so excited to see you and have you share your story with everybody here. Kayla's got an amazing story. She's been through some things and she's definitely not alone in these struggles. So I thought it'd be great to have her on and share those stories. So whenever you're ready, you have the floor.
Yeah. And David, I want to say thank you, my friend, for inviting me and for considering me to be part of your amazing show. I know that your podcast is just scratching the surface, you know, and that you're going to be able to bring so much hope and freedom to a lot more people. And so, yeah, as David has shared, I mean, I can go on and on and on of like so many stories that I can share, but the one that really stands out to me was back in 2022. I went through some, I would call it the year of hell, because that whole year was literally from beginning to end, a year of hell. In 2022, I started to go through a lot of physical sickness in my body where, suddenly, when I would stress out, my body would break out in hives. My muscles would tense up. It was on one occasion, I was so stressed and overwhelmed and anxious that my whole body, my muscles were under complete tension and stress. Mm. I had to go get a massage, and this massage therapist, she's like, "Oh dear Lord, girl." She's like, "I've never met anyone where my whole body was tense." I mean, it was that bad. And so in 2022, I went through a lot of sicknesses. And it all began with, I guess, as far as I remember, I believe it was a cold, COVID. And I had gone to go see a doctor, and the doctor prescribed to me a cough syrup, out of all places, of cough syrup. And, you know, you trust the doctors, you trust mm-hmm. the medicine, and you don't really put thought into, hey, it's going to affect me. Or you don't even take the time to even read the side effects. You trust them. So I started to take that medicine, and suddenly I began to see some changes in my body where I wasn't sleeping. And strangely enough, it gave the indication that it will cause you to be drowsy in the day. But what I didn't realize is that it was going to cause me to start dealing with insomnia. And so I stopped taking that medicine, and insomnia began to stay part of my life for months. I would say maybe 6 months, 7 months, where I wouldn't sleep for days, and I would have to call in sick from work, because I'm like, I haven't slept in days. I mean, it got really bad. On top of that, I not only was dealing with insomnia at this point, as I mentioned, I was dealing with a lot of stress with things that were even insignificant. I wasn't even dealing with much ministry opportunities at that time. I didn't have nothing to be stressful about, but it seemed that the most smallest things in my life would trigger stress. Where, like I mentioned, my muscles would tense up, my jaw would clench shut. I mean, really bad. And then on top of that, I started to deal with anxiety, overwhelmingly with thoughts of worry, especially now worried about my health, worried about something's going to happen to me, anxiety about everything. And so this lasted for a whole year. And I began to, at this point, I was like, Lord, I need help. And so again, I started to think, well, if this primary care doctor didn't help me out, let me go see a holistic doctor. So I went to go see a holistic doctor, and they did a lot of testing. That's where a lot of my money went out. I lost so much money going to see this holistic doctor, because it became to the point where they wanted to get blood testing every month. And so it started to build up the cost, and it began to help me, but it did not. And so at that point, we were gathering in my apartment. And I, at that time, you know, I think me being a strong spiritual leader, I have the tendency that you have to be strong and you have to be mm-hmm. well put together, so you don't share your struggles with nobody, because you're the leader, you have to be strong, you should know what to do. And so I think this is where a lot of leaders fall short. You mm-hmm. know, leaders don't yep. have a lot of friends, because, you know, either we've been betrayed, we've been backstabbed. And so we tend to keep a lot of things to ourselves, and we fight alone. And so I was going through all of this. I'm like, Lord, I don't know who to run to. I don't know who to go to. And the Lord began to tell me, you have a praying ministry. Why don't you ask these people to pray for you? So I got in the way, and I'm like, Lord, I can't. You know, they look up to me. They expect me to be strong. And they're like, well, you have these people to pray for you. You've been teaching them the power of prayer. Now let them pray for you. So I remember the time we were at that time in my apartment, and I said, guys, I've been struggling with this. I've been dealing with a lot of anxiety. I've never dealt with anxiety. Oh, and on top of that, David, I was having panic attacks, never dealt with panic attacks. one small thought or idea of something going wrong, and immediately I'm hyperventilating, going into a panic mode. I'm like, Lord, I've never walked in this before. Never. I mean, I counseled and helped people walk through it. But for me, walking in it, man, now I have a lot more compassion for people because it literally feels like everything is falling apart. You feel hopeless. You feel like there's no way out. I mean, your mind, your logical ways of thinking shut down. And so I'm like, Lord, I need help. I need help. So I remember I finally opened up to my group and I said, hey guys, you know, I'm going through this. I'm dealing with insomnia. I'm dealing with anxiety, panic attacks, and stress. And they began to pray for me. And in those times where I would stay up late at night, my mind was just racing over a lot of things. And so as they agree, they're like, Miss Kayla, we're here for you. This is why the body of Christ exists. Mm-hmm. This is why you need community. And one of them spoke up. They're like, Miss Kayla, you're just one of us. You can be honest and transparent with us. Just because you're our leader doesn't mean that you don't need prayer. He says, you need prayer the most. So they told me, Kayla, because you are our leader, please open up and tell us the struggles that you're going through.
Yeah, that's good.
Obviously, you don't have to share the details, but tell us that you need prayer. And so that allowed me to just, you know, put down my tough persona and say, let me be vulnerable. And they begin to pray for me. They lay hands on me, but I was still struggling. Mm-hmm. So then one day I was on my way to Starbucks and I get a voice memo from one of the gentlemen that is part of our prayer group. And he said, Miss Kayla, I want to share with you. I had a dream about you. And I believe it's in regards to the root issue of why you're dealing with all of the insomnia. And so in the dream, he shared that he saw me. I don't remember. It was 2 years ago or 3 years ago now. And as far as I remember, he said that I had seen a snake. I saw a snake. It was a small little snake. And he had told me in the dream, Miss Kayla, watch out for that snake. It's going to bite you. And I said, oh, no, I'll be okay. And he remembers that I got the snake. And I put it in a cage. And so he recommended for me, you need to shut the cage or else it's going to come loose. And I said, no, it's going to be okay. And I left the cage door open. And he was concerned, like, this is dangerous. I should not be playing with the snake. And he said that I was playing with it in my hands. And when he shared that dream with me, I'm like, oh, snap, that's not a good dream. Mm-hmm. And so I knew immediately what that meant. A snake will always represent Satan. We go back in the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. Satan presented himself for the first time as a snake, as a serpent. So anytime we dream about a snake, we already know Satan is behind it. But also a snake represents lies because Satan in Genesis as a serpent, he lied to Eve. And so I was like, oh, Lord. And then the mere fact that I was playing with it indicates that there's a lie that I've been believing or that I opened the door to a demonic spirit over something and I'm entertaining it. That's why I was playing with it. I'm entertaining it instead of casting it out. Mm. And so I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, where did I open the door? What lie am I believing that I'm allowing this serpent, this demon to come in, that it's the open door of my insomnia, anxiety, panic attacks, and all of that? And then immediately the Lord said, you're dealing with unforgiveness. And then the Holy Spirit reminded me, there's a verse in the Bible, there's a parable where Jesus talks about the tormentors. I don't know if y'all remember, but the parable talks about how there was this master who had a servant, and this servant had owed the master a certain amount of money. And the master came and says, hey, give me the money. And the servant said, I don't have the money, but I can pay you as soon as possible. Just give me a chance. And the master said, yeah. So then that servant goes home and his friend owed him money. And he sees his friend. He says, hey, where's my money? And his friend tells him, I don't have the money. And the servant wasn't as gracious as his master. So he says, well, you're going to have to go in and figure it out. And so he pretty much put him to work and condemned him and put him in jail. And then the master found out about it. And the master was upset. He confronted the servant and he said, I gave you so much grace and mercy. I forgave your debt. Mm-hmm. you were also supposed to forgive those that did you wrong. And he says, because you didn't offer grace or mercy the way that I did, now I'm going to put you in jail and you're going to be there until you pay off your debt, and the tormentors will torment you. And then Jesus says, this is what will happen to you when you don't forgive others. You will be tormented by demons until you release people and forgive. And immediately I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, Lord, are you serious? And I said, Holy Spirit, then remind me. And immediately the Lord began to remind me of the people that I had been harboring up offense with. I had been offended with several people that were on, I guess, in our group of ministry. I was offended and hurt that they had left, so abruptly, that they had left in such a rude way and offensively. And I began to hold up an offense towards them, and I did not forgive them. And the Lord began to deal with me. You have to forgive them. You have to release them, or else you'll continue to be tormented in your soul. And this is where a lot of people, David, don't understand that forgiveness is key to peace and to freedom.
Yeah.
As I walk through this journey, and the Lord finally, and I'll talk about my deliverance in a bit later, but when I finally walked out and I did research, I began to recognize through my own personal study that the main reason and the root issue why a lot of people deal with insomnia is because there is a root of bitterness or offense in their heart, and there's unforgiveness. That is the root issue why people deal with insomnia. There is something in their soul that they have not resolved. And so when the Lord showed me this, He literally, David, from then on out, it was like the Lord opened the floodgates and He led me through a journey of inner healing and deliverance that I did not know I needed. Mm. And so it began with me forgiving those that had hurt me and offended me. But then, David, the Lord began to pull back layers, and He began to show me, you have this issue here of unforgiveness to your dad. You're dealing with rejection because your dad wasn't part of your life. And He began to take me through a season of inner healing and deliverance. Now, for the longest time, David, I didn't believe in inner healing or deliverance. I thought that deliverance and inner healing was for those that were really wicked and deep into sin, or that, you know, but I didn't know I needed inner healing or deliverance. I didn't know that I was carrying all this baggage of rejection, of trauma, of abandonment issues, all these things that I walked through my life. I didn't know that I was carrying certain memories and triggers and wounds in my soul. And so the Lord allowed me to go through that season in my life to unpack the deeper things in my soul that needed to be healed by the Lord. And so eventually what ended up happening, David, I said, Holy Spirit, I need intervention. And so I remember I was in the office and I started to pray in the Holy Spirit. And I asked the Lord, Lord, why am I dealing with so much stress? I don't have nothing to be stressed about. I'm not married. I don't have kids. And deep into ministry. So I'm like, Lord, why am I stressing out? So then the Lord, David, He told me, because it came from the womb. And I'm like, it came from the womb. And I go, what do you mean? So I asked the Holy Spirit, and this is why I love the Holy Spirit so much, because He reveals deep things, even within your heart and your soul, things that you can't see. So he told me, when you were in your mom's womb, you inherited stress because your mom had a stressful pregnancy. And I go, what? And so I thought, this cannot be. So I Googled it, like we always do. We go to Google, they know all the answers. So I Googled and I said, can babies inherit stress because a mom is stressed? And to my surprise, yes. And so I come to find out, David, that the story is that when a mom is stressed in her 9 months of pregnancy, she passes on cortisone chemicals to the baby. Mm. And so the baby is born, and the baby now has high cortisone levels in their body. And so they did a study with these babies, and they checked up on them throughout a lifespan, and they tested them, and they noticed that these babies, as they grew up, those cortisone levels were still high. And then they tested other children that their moms had wonderful pregnancies and they saw that their cortisone levels were down. So it is proven that babies can inherit the stress that the moms go through. They inherit a high cortisone level and it remains in their body. And so I said, Lord, I can't believe this. So I had to go to the source. I had to ask my mom, Mom, is this true? And I told her what the Holy Spirit told me. And my mom said, yep, it's true. So she admitted that in the 9 months that she was pregnant, she was dealing with a lot of stress while she was pregnant with me due to her marriage. It was very difficult. And so that whole time she was pregnant with me, she was very stressed. Wow. It got to the point where she had an accident with me while she was pregnant that she almost lost me in this car wreck. And so it all just, I was like, Holy Spirit, this is amazing. And so from there, I said, okay, Lord, well, who do I go to? Where do I go to be free? You know, if you're showing me the root issue. And I think, David, this is where many believers, they just want to have relief from their pain, from their trauma and their anguish. When Jesus doesn't want to just bring you relief, he wants to bring you freedom. The Bible says, Jesus said, in Isaiah 61, that he was anointed to set the captives free. He was sent here to the earth to set our soul free from the torment, the trauma, and everything. And so I was like, Lord, you're right. You just don't want to relieve my pain, my stress, my anxiety, and insomnia. You want to bring me freedom. And the perfect analogy that he gave me, David, was, you know, when you have a backyard or front yard, you have weeds. And many people, what they want to do, they just want to mow on top of weeds so they can look pretty. But the thing is that weeds, they grow back. You're not supposed to just mow over the weeds. You're supposed to uproot them. And that's what the Lord wants to do in our soul. There's a lot of hidden things in our soul from our past that the Lord wants to uproot so that we can be free. Yeah. And so I said, Lord, who do I go to? And Holy Spirit, once again, wonderful Holy Spirit, told me, talk to so-and-so. She will walk you through inner healing and deliverance. So this person, I hadn't spoken to, David, in years. She was a TBI alumni, and I was 20 years old. I was an intern. She was already on staff. And I haven't reached out to her, nothing. But we had kind of, you know how on social media, do you just keep an eye on each other and you comment?
Yes.
That's how it was. And then reach out to her. I'm like, oh my God, I haven't talked to her in like decades. So I reached out to her. I told her what I was going through. And she says, Caleb, yep, the Lord is wanting to bring healing, inner healing to your soul and deliverance, because this is why you're being tormented, because there's deep issues here and it's all rooted, yes, with unforgiveness, but there's more. And so the next thing you know, David, she leads me through an inner healing and deliverance session through a Zoom call. And I was free. I was delivered. I was free. I didn't even know, David, I had so much in my soul. Because again, we think that once you come to Jesus, you're pure, you're clean. But the thing is, we're walking through a what we call sanctification. We're being sanctified. The soul is still being sanctified. We still got issues that we got to work with. And so the next thing you know, David, I received freedom. I was like, oh my God, I feel so light. I feel free. And then later on, David, as I walked through inner healing and deliverance, the Lord just opened my eyes even more. And I remember there was one last attack of the enemy, one last attack. And it was the hardest one. All of a sudden, after I went through inner healing and deliverance, it was like the enemy says, I'm not done with you yet. And he gives me a whole week again of insomnia. I'm like, Lord, what the heck? I thought I was free. And so the next thing you know, David, I'm going through another week of insomnia. But at this point, it just escalated to the point, David, where I started to hear voices in my head. The voices started telling me, shoot yourself in the head to just silence the voices. And there's no hope for you. And I started to hear this. I'm like, Lord, I speak silence. And it seemed, David, like even when I was praying, nothing was happening. So that whole week I started to take communion. I'm like, Father, I'm going to take communion because your word says, there's a verse in the Bible that says that many people, the Apostle Paul was talking that many people were taking communion unworthily and they were getting sick. So I thought, huh, if people were taking it unworthily and they were getting sick, that means if I take it worthily, I will get healed because there's power in communion because it's the representation of the shedding of blood of Jesus. So I started to take communion and I rubbed it in Satan's face. Let me remind you, Satan, of the blood of Jesus. It disarmed you. The blood of Jesus has power. So I would take communion. And when I would take communion, David, I would literally go to sleep that night. But then again, it was still fighting me. And I said, Lord, something's going on. And then finally, there was one last war. And I had it. I was like, Lord, I'm physically exhausted, mentally exhausted. I don't know what to do, Lord. I've done everything that I can. What do I do? And so it was a Friday night and I got a text message from a friend. They're like, come and hang out with us. And I'm like, no, I'm tired. I want to stay in my bed and watch TV to just alleviate my mind from all the attack that I was going through. And immediately, David, the Holy Spirit told me, praise Jesus. And I said, no, I'm tired. I want to go to sleep. And he kept saying, praise Jesus with all of your heart. And I said, okay, Lord, if you're asking me to praise, I will. So I get out of my bed. I'm physically tired, David. At this point, I haven't slept for 3 days. I'm mentally not in a good sound mind. So I get out of bed. I turn on my TV, put on YouTube, and I put all of my favorite praise music. And the Lord told me, get your flag and praise me. So I said, okay. So the next thing you know, David, I started to jump. I didn't feel like jumping. I didn't feel like singing or clapping. I said, Lord, I'm going to praise you, not because I feel like it, but because you deserve it. And I'm going to rub it in the face of Satan that he's been attacking me, trying to destroy me, discourage me. I'm going to rub it in his face that he's not going to steal my praise. And he's going to watch me praise you even while I'm feeling sick. So for a whole hour, David, I was praising the Lord in my room, shouting, even though I didn't feel it, I was hallelujah. And going in my room, David, it was an aerobics class in my room. I was sweating of how much I was praising the Lord. I gave it all, even though I didn't feel it. I was physically not fit, ill. And I said, Lord, I'm going to praise you. And finally, David, the last song after the whole hour, I kept praising until the Holy Spirit told me, stop. And immediately the last song, I said, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then something went, poof. I felt it, David. I felt it go poof.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, my eyesight became clear. I didn't know that this whole time that I was dealing with this for a whole year, I didn't know how blurry my eyesight was. But whatever was on me, it lifted off of me that I looked around. Everything looked bright. Everything looked clear. I was like, oh my God, I was under some sort of demonic oppression and it lifted off of me. After that, David, I didn't deal with it again. And I noticed, David, so many important things in this whole year of warfare. I noticed the importance of keeping my soul healthy, making sure that I'm quick to forgive people. Because if I don't, we are putting a welcome mat to the enemy saying, yeah, you are welcome when we don't forgive people. The other thing that I learned through this is the importance of asking people for help. Don't keep the struggles to yourself. Tell a strong believer that you're going through stuff so that they can stand in the gap for you. This is why we need the body of Christ, because they help the members that are weak. The other thing that I learned through this whole process is we all need inner healing and deliverance, because we all have walked through some trauma, some rejection, some things in our life that we don't realize we bring it in. And the way that we are now, defensive or whatever, it molds us to who we are. So we all need to walk through inner healing or deliverance because of things that we walk through. And then the other thing I've noticed and I learned through this, David, is the importance of communion, that communion is more than once a month thing at church. There is power in communion, but also there is power in your praise. That there's a verse in the Bible in the book of Psalms that says, there's a praise in their mouth, but a sword in their hand, which tells us, David, that when we praise, it's actually warfare too.
Yeah.
You're not just singing little kumbaya songs and hallelujah. No, you are doing warfare when you are praising the Lord as well. And so all of everything that I went through 2022 taught me so many lessons, but it brought forth so much freedom and so much deliverance that now, David, I can say God is good, God is faithful, and truly there is hope. There is hope when you feel like, man, everything is falling apart, when medicine falls short, when you feel weak, there is a power in the Holy Spirit that he helps us and he guides us to find the help and the freedom that we're needing. And so after that, David, I remember last story, after everything had ended, I had just come out of my workout at the gym. And I hear the Holy Spirit tell me, you passed the test. He says, now promotion comes. And suddenly, David, that's where poof, DTSA was officially launched as David's Tabernacle San Antonio. My book was launched. All of these things were launched. And it was like, I get it. The enemy knew something that I didn't know at that time. He knew that there was something greater ahead. So I was going through warfare because the enemy was trying to stop me from what was coming ahead. Mm. But also the Lord was using that. You know, the Bible says whatever the enemy meant for evil, God uses it for our good. And God was using that to build my faith and confidence in the Lord, not to have it on my circumstances, but to trust him that even when the circumstances aren't there, he is a steady rock and I can run to him and he will pull me through it. And so, David, I mean, it's been an amazing season. After 2022 happened, the last on New Year's Eve, I was like, I'm going to end my year celebrating the Lord. And so I went conference in Dallas and I ended the new year saying, Jesus, you are faithful. I took my flags and I just jumped and rejoiced in the Lord and said, I might have begun my year 2022 in hell, but I'm ending it with thanksgiving and praise because I'm entering into 2023 in victory. And David, that's exactly how it began. 2023 began the best years of my life, of my ministry. And my goodness, David, I have no regrets. Yeah. You know, at the moment when you go through hell, you're like, Lord, just pull me out of this, alleviate me, you know, suck me out of this. But Lord doesn't want to just pull us out. He wants to walk us through.
Right.
Because it's building faith. It's building confidence. It's building our assurance in the Lord that he is a strong fortress and we can run to him. And so I'm so thankful for the seasons that the Lord takes us through. And I'm thankful I'm here where I'm at now.
Yeah.
Back then, you know, I'm thankful where I'm at now and just giving God glory that, you know, that season is over and now we are here.
That's amazing. What a great, great testimony. There are so many things that I'm just, my brain is like exploding with like comments and agreements and man, I can't, first thing I'll say is, I've been in times like that where, you know, you're going through a situation and God, all you gotta do is just pray. It's like, sometimes I'll put my earbuds on and I just turn on my, you know, like you said, your favorite worships or praise songs. And you just break down those walls. It's almost like, you know, because the Bible talks about, I can't remember specifically, and I'm sure you know, when there was a battle that was happening and God told him to send the praisers first.
Yeah.
You know, so there is so much power in that, in praising, because even when we talk about Jericho too, shouting, the walls came down. I mean, these walls were so thick that the chariots could run and race on them. Like, imagine these walls, like, you know, downtown San Antonio, they have the horses and the chariots and they're all big. Like, imagine two of those things racing on a wall. Like, that's crazy. And I think that modern Christianity forgets that there is spiritual warfare happening over us. And I mean, so much to the fact, you know, we're on the very beginning to the Garden of Eden, to everything that happened through, you know, before Jesus came, when Jesus was on earth and when Jesus was put on the cross and went in. And now I think that modern Christianity forgets that and dilutes that message that there is a battle for our souls. You know, I mean, our souls are so important to God that he literally stepped off his throne, died on a cross, and went to hell to take the keys. Like, this wasn't just for a pretty story to tell, like, you know, to give us something to talk about on Easter or something to share, that, or that, you know, like to say like, oh, we have hope on something, you know, we're not just going to be born and die and then that's it. Like, you know, so there's definitely a spiritual battle for our souls, and the enemy understands how important that is to mm-hmm. God. And, you know, this is not biblical. I guess it's based on biblical, but I read a fictional story and it's called The Fall of Lucifer. And a lot of it is not biblical, like I said. But the point is that it talks about how, you know, Lucifer, you know, Satan, Lucifer at the time was God's number one go-to. Like he was the most favored angel, the worshiper, the praiser in heaven, you know? And when God introduced man and how important that man would be to God, it jealousy arose in Lucifer's heart, which ultimately led to the downfall. And when the story goes on to say, when Lucifer was cast out into hell, and when God created him, Adam and Eve, he knew that the one thing that could separate us from direct fellowship with God would be to sin, would be sin. And that's what happened. It caused us to sin. And then it goes into the next book where Jesus comes and dies on the cross and brings us back in fellowship with him. But I'm like, all of that, you know, just even for us that are, you know, that are have been in the faith, you know, the majority of our lives, and then the people that have been in the faith for a small amount of time, there is a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
And a lot of that, especially for us that are in the faith, comes from unforgiveness. And I think people just choose to forget or choose not to think about how much of a stronghold that unforgiveness is. And I think that's even something that's talked about in the secular world as well, just to know that unforgiveness isn't to benefit you, it's benefiting the other person because they're holding on to something. You know what I mean? Like, you know, what is that saying? Forgiveness isn't for them, it's for you. It's like, you know, the secular world talks about it, and how much more is it talked about in the Christian world? Like, there's a lot of things that the secular world talks about that is backed up by the Bible. I'm like, Jesus knew what he was talking about, you know, about speaking into existence and claiming, not you know, like believing for things and standing on the word. So man, I think that's amazing. And wow, I know that I've dealt with unforgiveness, you know, I've been hurt by the church as well, as well as the non-church people. But, and it's easy to hold grudges. I am a huge grudge holder, and you know that, and my friends know that I will hold on to a grudge. Like, if I have a grudge on you, like particularly I had a friend of mine that a very good friend of mine had a falling out, and this person could literally be sitting across the table from me, and it would be like an invisible cloak was just put over this person. Like, this person was not in the room. Wow. And I went on through that for years until finally I realized, like, you know, and a lot of it, at the church I attend to now, you know, CBC, has taught me a lot of forgiveness and people that have hurt me in the past, that person. And we have a gorilla. We've moved past that. Like, we actually had, we went to lunch this Sunday, and I mean, like, with some other friends, but like, it was not only a burden for me, but it was a burden for our circle of friends as well, because I was dragging him into this drama and this grudge.
Wow.
But it was affecting me spiritually. It was affecting me, mentally, because this person's out living their life, but I'm driving home still mad about something that happened years ago, you know? And so it takes you away from reading your Bible. It takes you away from enjoying life. It sucks the life out of you. It's like a cancer. Mm-hmm. And it's horrible that there are so many Christians and there are so many pastors that are you know, dealing with this as well. And it's very heartbreaking to know, and it's affecting their ministries, it's affecting their families, it's affecting more than just that person. And it's like a very contagious spiritual disease.
Yeah, for sure. And forgiveness is truly, David, like the key of freedom and healing and being at peace with one another and with ourselves. And I think, you know, it's just scary to me, David, how the Bible talks about how in the last days our hearts will grow cold for one another. And the Apostle Paul talked about how as the days become darker, we're getting closer to the second coming of the Lord. People within the church are going to hate one another, devour one another. So it gives us an indication how the climate and the temperature and the state of the church is at. And I think the perfect example is like when the whole COVID and Trump and BLM came out, man, a lot of hatred, you know? And so we saw there the climate of the church, how our hearts were becoming cold. Mm-hmm. And so for us, you know, as believers, I think we got to be more self-aware of the condition of our heart and our soul. Like, am I holding a grudge towards someone? Am I holding an offense towards someone and being quick to repent and being quick to forgive them? I don't think personally, David, that you need to go up to them, to everyone, and say, well, I forgive you for this and that, because many times they're like, what? I didn't know you were surviving, you know? But I think the majority of the time it's like just you and the Lord. Yes. Maybe he will ask you to, you know, go up to him and ask for forgiveness. But the majority of the time it's just between you and the Lord. Right. And you finally say, Lord, I forgive them and I release them. And that's where it all begins. But forgiveness is the key. I mean, if God forgives us of all of our sins, we have to do the same for others. If we consider ourselves sons and daughters, then we have to reflect our dad, you know?
Yeah. That's something that blows my mind too about the church in general, the capital C church. And I think that's where a lot of the unchurched look at the church community and say, they're a bunch of, you know, these people are, they talk about forgiveness, but they're the worst forgiving group of people in all of these communities that we're living amongst, you know, and we should be the most forgiving people. And yes, you know, I'm not saying that you need to go be best friends with people that have done you wrong and maybe done horrible things to you. I'm not saying that you need to go and have dinner with them, but in your heart, between you and God, there's got to be that forgiveness, because it sets you, it's very freeing. And like you said, like that weight lifted off of you, that veil, you know, coming from out of your eyes, like it really is. And I think, like I say, spiritual warfare, I think, has been almost like in the modern church pushed out. But you don't have to be someone who moves like in a charismatic movement or believe in all that stuff to know that when you truly do forgive someone, there is a spiritual lifting or a weight that's lifted. You know, the world calls it weight, the world calls it karma, but we call it the Holy Spirit. We call it a spiritual or a spirit, you know? So, wow, that's amazing. And I love how the Holy Spirit, how you spotlight the Holy Spirit, because he really is our helper in every situation. Again, the world calls it karma, you know, or is it karma? What is the word? It's not karma. Intuition or. You know what I'm trying to say, but I'm like, nah, that's not intuition. That's Jesus in the Holy Spirit. You know? You know, and we always can know that we have the Holy Spirit to talk to and depend on and lean on, which brings me to the new book that just hit the shelves. What was it? Early this year or late last year?
Yeah, early this year. Around October, November.
Yes, it's called Who is the Holy Spirit? It's a 30-day devotional by the one and only Miss Kayla. And I'll show a picture right here, and I might put a picture on, but available on Amazon. Amazing book. Can you talk a little bit about how that experience and, you know, what you were talking about with the insomnia and the forgiveness, how did that play a role in the writing of this book or putting together?
Yeah. So basically, you know, as I shared and I put an emphasis on the Holy Spirit, I mean, Holy Spirit is the key to knowing Jesus, to walking in freedom, to getting to know God, and for the word coming alive. And so for me, David, I would say that my whole Christian walk with the Lord has been a journey of discovering the Holy Spirit. And 2022, my experience with what I shared is just another experience of how the Holy Spirit led me to freedom, led me to reach out to the right people, and led me to discover the root of unforgiveness. And so this book came about maybe several years ago that the Lord told me to start writing books. This is just one out of many others that are yet to come. But the Lord showed me how a lot of believers are living a life of defeat or a superficial level of Christianity because they do not know the Holy Spirit. They have the Holy Spirit as like the weaker vessel or the one that they don't even talk to. And they think that the Holy Spirit is just like in the first chapter, I talk about how I believe that the Holy Spirit was a ghost, that he would come in and out of the services, that whenever we would worship, he would come in. Yeah, Casper. And then when service was over, he would leave. And so there's just a lot of misconceptions and misunderstanding in who the Holy Spirit is and his role in our life. But the reality is the Holy Spirit is so important in our walk with Jesus. If you want to learn how to overcome sin, you need a friendship with the Holy Spirit. If you want to learn how to walk in forgiveness, you need the helper, the Holy Spirit, to help you to forgive. If you're having a hard time understanding the word, Holy Spirit is the one that teaches you the word. So Holy Spirit is the key to everything. And so this 30-day devotional is a super short and easy devotional that every day you're going to read a small verse in the Bible about the Holy Spirit. And then I explain to you the role of the Holy Spirit. As if we talk about Holy Spirit as a teacher, I explain how he works, but I also share a lot of my personal experiences with the Holy Spirit in different facets. And so to me, David, I am so thankful for the Holy Spirit, because if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, David, I don't think I would have been free from what I went through in 2022, because the one that set me free and the power of God is the Holy Spirit. It's him. He was the one that set me free. He is the power of God, and he's the one that healed me. And so in this 30-day devotional, you get to discover the Holy Spirit, the power of God, and how to become intimate with Jesus, how to hear his voice, how to get to know him, and how to develop a friendship with him. And so this 30-day devotional is amazing. I've been hearing a lot of my friends that have bought the book saying, man, I had one young lady, I'll give you an example. She's like early in her 30s, and she's like, I've been asking God to hear his voice, and I haven't heard his voice in a long time, so I decided to pick up your devotional. And she says that she was on one of the devotional, I forgot what day, in regards to talk to the Holy Spirit, because he talks back to you. So she says, I began to talk to him. And she says, and I put to work the exercises that you put on there. And she says, and then all of a sudden, Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he gave me this word. And she's like, oh my God. So she wrote it down. She says she wrote it down in her journal, and she started to weep because she's like, oh my God, I finally heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. So she was still not sure. So she said, Holy Spirit, if this is you, speak to me through a dream. And she said that night she had a dream. And I don't remember the dream, but she heard the voice of the Lord, and it was the same thing. And so from then on out, she's like, Miss Kayla, I've been walking now with the Holy Spirit, that everywhere I go, I'm talking to him and he's talking back to me. And so this book will be a blessing for all of you guys that are just wanting to grow in your relationship with God. You want to learn how to hear his voice, become intimate with the Lord. The key, you have to know the Holy Spirit, and you have to know how he operates, what is his role in your life, and how to develop a friendship with him. Because Holy Spirit is not meant just for church stuff when you go to church. No, Holy Spirit was given to us to help us in the daily mundane things of life, how to become a good friend, a good parent, a good husband and wife. He's there to help us in the practical things of life. So I highly recommend for people to go pick up this 30-day devotional book on Amazon. It's only $10, and you will not regret it. It's so short that you would probably be reading it for 2 minutes and that's done. You just finished it for the day.
Short and sweet. And I also want to emphasize too, like, how important it is to spend time in the Word. And this is a great source to help you do that, because just like the Holy Spirit speaks, the enemy speaks as well. And, you know, if you want to talk about like the old days where they had the little devil on your one shoulder and you had the angel on this side talking, the devil's trying to talk to you too. And you have to be very careful. In the world that we live in today, there's a lot of voices going out there that sound like Jesus and sound like the Holy Spirit, but it's not. Yeah. And we've got to, like the Bible says, my children or my sheep know my voice. Or right. Yeah, that's exactly. So yeah, that's amazing. I think, like you said, we become so busy in our lives, and even us as Christians, we become so busy in ministry that we forget to stop and fill ourselves, that we need to have time. And God wants to speak to us just as much as we, you know. I work with students and I encourage them and I talk to them, and I'm like, God wants to talk to you, wants to speak to you. You got to go to him in prayer. Whatever you're struggling with, go to God in prayer. And then I have to tell myself, God wants to talk to you too, because, you know, sometimes I get home and I'll go straight to bed because I'm tired. I worked, you know, 8 hours a day, and then I go home real quick for 5 minutes. So I can change from my work clothes to my, you know, my student clothes and go minister to kids. And I forget that God's like, hello, I'm here too. When I talk to him, I've got a word for you, but you've totally missed it, you know? Yeah, that's so good. Yeah, so Amazon, definitely recommend that. And then anything else that you want to share?
No, I think, you know, for anyone that is online, I think that there are many people online that you can probably relate to different things that I walk through, you know, either the unforgiveness, the anxiety, the panic attacks. Maybe you're dealing with, you know, that you've been dealing with some trauma in your life and you know, you need inner healing and deliverance. I just, whatever it is that stood out to you and whatever it is ministered to you, I say, step out in faith and do it. If it means talking to someone to get prayer, if it means reaching out to someone that is in inner healing or deliverance, or maybe the Lord is asking you, hey, in your circumstances, just praise me, do it. You know, whatever it is that you got up from my testimony, I hope that it has encouraged you, but it has compelled you to step out in faith and obey. I think the key, Jesus said, the Bible says, do not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. So I think this podcast is more than just hearing amazing stories, but it should compel you.
Yes.
Find hope, to find help, to find freedom. And so it's time to step out in faith and say, okay, Lord, guide me. And if you don't know where, hey, ask the Holy Spirit, get my book. Ask the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. So if you don't know who to go to, where to go to, ask Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, where do I go to? That's what I did. And he led me to the right people to find freedom, to find wholeness, to find healing. So that will be my closing remarks.
Yes, it's amazing. I confirm and agree with everything you said. We can't go to this life alone with each other. You know, like you mentioned before, that, you know, the body is important, the fellowship of believers. But also the Holy Spirit, like you have it on your book, developing a friendship with the Holy Spirit. He wants to be your friend. Mm-hmm. He wants to guide you through this craziness that we go through every single day. And even if it's just, I don't know, sometimes we got to exit early on the highway, because if we, the Holy Spirit's like, exit, you know, and we exit. And then there was, and if we didn't, there could have been a major accident that we might have been involved in. It's crazy. There's little things that happen that we get that are inconveniences, that we see them as inconveniences, but God's like, I don't think so. I saved you from, you know, whatever. And not to say that if you have an accident, that's because you didn't listen to it. I'm not saying that, but you know, those little things that,
that, you know what, David, I want to add something, that, you know, it's so true. I've noticed, David, that in the early years of my Christian walk, when I didn't know how important the Holy Spirit was, I struggled a lot more, because you're trying to do it all on your own and I got to go do this and maybe this might help. But the Holy Spirit is there to alleviate the stress. Mm. When you go to him and run to him and ask him for help, he immediately gives you the solutions and you avoid all the stress and anxiety. And so I went through all of the hell, but I'm so thankful that, again, I ran to the Holy Spirit. Lord, guide me. Where do I go? What do I do? And he told me, and the key is obedience. But David, you're absolutely right. Usually it might always be an inconvenience, but it's for our well-being. So Holy Spirit is wonderful and we all need him.
Yes, we do. We all need him. And we don't realize how much we need him until something happens. Yeah. Sure. Well, Kayla, thank you so much again for coming on. It's so good to see you again. And we'll have to connect again. And maybe we'll do a little acoustic worship set together sometime, somewhere. Maybe at the next prayer worship service or something. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. That sounds good.
Yeah, we'll have like a little Lee Alive Project reunion or something. I don't know.
For sure.
Half of the band's not even in San Antonio anymore. So, yes, if you're in the San Antonio area, please look Kayla up. And I highly recommend David's Tabernacle. I'm sure when the next one comes around, I will be promoting it on my socials. And if you're not in the San Antonio area, you do actually broadcast live, don't you, on Facebook?
Yes, we do. We have Instagram, Facebook. We're under David's Tabernacle San Antonio. As I stated earlier, we meet once a week. to worship and to pray. So if you're in the city of San Antonio, you're looking for a community where people love the presence of God and love prayer, or you need prayer, come and check us out at David's Tabernacle San Antonio. Find us on Instagram and you'll have all the information there and the details, time and location.
Yeah. And I remember that, to go back to what you said earlier, you did start out in your apartment. I remember going to one of your nights. Yeah. And I just remembered, now that you actually have a location, you meet in a church building now. So that's amazing. I see how far it's come.
Yeah.
So definitely proud of you and excited to see the future of this movement. Who is the Holy Spirit? I'll link it on my website as well as the show notes and on Instagram, on the podcast platforms and on YouTube. And then, of course, my new website. And then I'll also link your socials for David's Tabernacle on and all of the above as well. But if you want to close us out in prayer, that would be amazing.
Yes, of course. I feel honored. And I want to say thank you, David, for having me on. It's such an honor to be part of your podcast, of your ministry, that you're impacting lives. So I'm honored. So thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Father, I just thank you, Lord, for David. And I thank you for every listener and watcher that took the time to listen to this podcast. Father, we just pray for those, Lord, that are dealing with physical illness in their body. Father, you are powerful enough to bring healing into their body. So we speak right now the word that by the stripes of Jesus, they are healed. Father, we pray for those that have been hurt and wounded and offended by people in their lives, Lord, that it's been hard for them to forgive. Holy Spirit, give them the power that they need to walk in forgiveness so that they can finally be free and their soul can be free. And Father, we pray for those, Lord, that are going through spiritual warfare in their minds, Lord, that they don't know what to do or where to go to. Holy Spirit, guide them to the right people, to the right community, to the right person that will be able to walk through this process of deliverance and freedom, that they will know that Holy Spirit is all that they need, but that also Holy Spirit leads them to the right sources to be able to walk out their freedom. And so, Father, we pray for those that are being tormented in their mind. Father, we speak freedom in their mind in the name of Jesus. We speak a sound mind, that they're able to think, that they're able to live their lives normally with nothing slowing them down. And so, Father, we just thank you for every listener and watcher. And we thank you again for the privilege of being able to give you the glory and the honor, that in Jesus there is hope and freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hey guys, thanks again for joining me on another episode of the Life Stories Podcast. Your ongoing support means the world to me. Can't thank you enough. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button. And if you're listening to me on a podcast platform such as Spotify or Apple Music, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave a review. It definitely helps the show out. And don't forget to visit my website at www.thelifestoriespodcast.com. Again, www.thelifestoriespodcast.com. Join me next time for another captivating story. And remember that even your life is a narrative that can illustrate the reality of God's presence in our lives. Until then, take care, and I'll catch you in the next episode. Bye-bye for now.